Chapter 23. The first thing I thought of was my gun. Then I noticed he was holding it. I must have dropped it when I went down on my hands and knees to look at the body. "Right this way," he said. "Please don't try anything stupid." He spoke with a French-Canadian accent. He was definitely not the man I saw getting off the plane with DeMarco. He waved me in front of him. I started walking. "What's with the outfit?" I said. "You think you're a commando or something?" "Shut up and keep moving." "You specialize in Arctic warfare, right? What's your unit called again? The JTF-2? "I told you to shut up." "I think I've got it now," I said. "You're not a real soldier at all. You're one of those losers who like to dress up and pretend." He didn't say anything. If I'd knocked him even slightly off balance, that was one small thing in my favor. "You must have been the first man here," I said. "DeMarco sent you to kill Marty Grant. He was a big man, wasn't he? It's a good thing you had a gun." As long as I had him out here alone, I had a chance. If he got me into that house, I was probably a goner. "You should really shut up now," he said, "or I'll show you exactly how I killed him." "I'm not nearly as big," I said. "Put the guns down and we'll see how tough you are." "Come on," I thought. "Try something right here. Take a swing at me." He didn't. He kept walking behind me. He led me to the front door of the house and told me to open it. He stepped in behind me. The bright lights hit my eyes. "Who do we have here?" a man said. As my eyes focused, I saw Natalie sitting at a table. She still had her coat on. Across from her was the man who had spoken. It was Albert DeMarco. Now that I could see him up close, it was hard to believe he was in his 70s. A well-preserved 60-year-old, maybe. Another man stood directly behind Natalie. This was the big man I had seen getting off the airplane. There were two guns on the table in front of DeMarco, Natalie's automatic and her grandfather's Webley Bulldog. "Have a seat," he said. "What an unexpected pleasure." I looked at Natalie. When our eyes met, I could see her lips trembling. She was trying very hard to keep her composure. She opened her mouth to say something. She couldn't do it. She shook her head. As I sat down next to her, I gave the man behind her a better look. 6'5", maybe 240 pounds. He looked strong. His high cheekbones and close-cropped hair made him look like a German boxer. I turned and looked back at the man in the white camouflage. He was barely 5'6" in his army boots. Not even 150 pounds. He had long black hair tied in a ponytail. Now that I could see his face, he looked at least half crazy. "I was sure Natalie would bring along some help," DeMarco said. "I did too, of course. I'd like you to meet my troubleshooters." "Please tell me you really don't call these guys your troubleshooters." He smiled at me. The skin around his eyes didn't move. It was all plastic surgery, I thought. The hair is probably fake, too. "I think you should know," I said. "Speaking of men, I've got 7 others with me. The whole place is surrounded." He laughed. "Natalie, is this the best man you could find? I hope you're not paying him too much." The man in white wasn't laughing at my little bluff. He looked back at the door. Then he went out. One man out of the room, I thought. One less gun. And somewhere out there, I hope to God, Vinny is watching. "I didn't hire Alex," Natalie said. He smiled again and looked at me. "Now I understand," he said. "You always did have a thing for older men." I wanted to hit him so badly, just one shot. But no, that was the wrong thing to think about. I had to stay cool no matter what. "Let Alex go," she said. "He has nothing to do with this."
"Did he bring the videotape with him?"
"No,"
she said. "Where is it?"
"In a safe place. I'll tell you if you let Alex go."
"Stop it," I said. "I'm not going anywhere."
"Come on, Vinny, where are you?"
"Let me ask you something," he said. He picked one of her guns off the table. "You see, this gun I understand. This is your regular police issue, Sig Sauer P-229. He looked at it carefully, like a man at a gun shop. Then he put it down. It was 12 inches away from him, a good 4 feet away from me. No, don't let him see you looking at those guns, I thought. If he notices that, he might take them off the table. But this other gun. He picked up the old bulldog and weighed it in his hand. This gun is interesting. Note the distinctive shape of the barrel. And only 5 rounds, very unusual. He looked down the sight line. The gun was pointed at my chest. It does have a good feel to it, he said. I'll say that much, but why 2 guns? It doesn't make any sense to me. Do you have any theories, sir? A little extra firepower, I said. She didn't know how many men you'd have on your payroll. I sneaked a peek at the man standing behind Natalie. He looked down at me with cold eyes, no emotion at all. His huge hands were hanging at his sides 18 inches from Natalie's neck. My guess, DeMarco said, is that this gun right here has some special significance. Natalie was watching him handle the gun. Look at me, I thought. Please, Natalie. It's an old gun, DeMarco said. Look at me, Natalie. A Webley Bulldog. It's a classic. Finally, she did. I gave her a quick smile. I raised one eyebrow. He's out there, I said in my mind. Read my thoughts, Natalie. He's out there. We have to be ready. I'm thinking this gun has to be at least 70 years old, DeMarco said. Maybe more. Hell, this gun is probably older than I am. I tried to put myself in Vinny's place. I'm outside. I see one man coming out. He's the perimeter. Take him out if I can? Look in the window? Which would I do first? What do I do if I see Alex and Natalie in the room with these 2 men? In fact, DeMarco said, I'll bet you that this gun belonged to Luke Reynaud. Am I right? A better question. What would Vinny do if he looked in the window and saw the 2 guns lying on the table? Would he figure those were our only chance? If I had to guess, DeMarco said, I'd say that this was Luke Reynaud's favorite gun, the gun he took with him everywhere. You had to watch out for yourself back then. Life on the border could get pretty dangerous. I have to get light on my feet, I thought. I have to be ready to react in a split second. You know what else? I think there's a very good chance that this gun right here is the very same gun Luke Reynaud used to kill my father. Wouldn't that be something? He put the gun on the table and spun it. I wonder if my father even saw it coming, he said. I wonder if Luke Reynaud looked him in the eye before he killed him and took all the money, or if he just shot him in the back. The gun kept spinning. My grandfather didn't do that, Natalie said. Your grandfather was the only man who came back alive, DeMarco said. Except for the gangsters, of course. They must have killed him, Natalie said. They killed him because he tried to do something stupid, or because he was an ugly, evil snake just like you. DeMarco smiled again. The gun spun slower and slower. Whatever I am, he said, your grandfather made me. That's a lie, she said. Oh, yes, Natalie, you know it's true. It all goes back to Luke Reynaud. Okay, I thought, this is good. Everybody is looking at the spinning gun. The other gun, Natalie's automatic, that's closer to me. That's the gun I have to go for. The bulldog came to a slow stop. The barrel was pointing right at DeMarco's stomach. Let's try that again, he said. This time for real. Did you ever play spin the bottle when you were a kid? Now we're going to play spin the gun that killed my father in cold blood, unless you'd care to tell me where that videotape is. Come on, Vinny. Now would be a perfect time. Natalie? Mr. McKnight? Do you have anything to say? Right now, Vinny. You have to be out there. You have to help us. All right, then, DeMarco said. Let's see who gets it first. He spun the bulldog. This is it, Vinny. With or without you, I've got to make my move. Spinning. DeMarco is focused on it. When I make my move, he'll reach for that gun first. He has to. Spinning. No external safety on the Sig Sauer. Double action trigger. Just grab it and fire. Spinning. I can do this. I am fast. I am lightning. Spinning. It's starting to slow down. You're an old man, DeMarco. No matter how many times you've had your face lifted, you still have old man reflexes. Spinning slower. Slower. Everyone watching it spin. Then a sound, from outside, a muffled shout. DeMarco looking to his right toward the door. I explode, over the table, DeMarco's face showing surprise, his right hand reaching out first for the bulldog, then the automatic, his fingers touching it. But it's mine. I take it from him in that hundredth of a second. I roll onto my back. I fire the gun, once, twice, right over Natalie's head. I hit the big man in the chest. He has no idea what has just happened to him. He's looking down at his chest like somebody has just played a cruel joke on him. DeMarco's hands on my face now, digging at my eyes. I bring my arms back, two fists, two handcuffs still on the wrists, one gun. I hit him in the nose and feel it give. As I sit up, he's already going down. The blood is already coming out. Natalie, you okay?
Yes,
she said. Go! Here, I said. I slid the bulldog to her. The man behind her had a hand on her shoulder. He was bending over like he had just dropped something. As he pulled his hand off her body, he folded up and collapsed. I rolled off the table and ran to the door. As I put my shoulder into it and pushed it open, I ran right into Vinny. He had a gun in his hand.
Alex, he said, are you all right? Where's Natalie?
Inside, I said. Where's the other man? I saw him before Vinny could answer. He was on his hands and knees in the snow, almost blending in with his white camouflage.
How did you get his gun?
I said. It wasn't easy, Vinny said. This guy got Natalie before I could do anything. I didn't have a weapon, Alex. Then you came later, from the other side. I was starting to think we had no hope. How'd you know to follow her in the first place?
Come on, he said. She's the worst liar I've ever seen.
I was about to say something else. Then I saw the man in white going for his pant leg. I saw the ankle holster. I saw a flash of silver.
Drop it,
I said. But he was already swinging it. I shot him four times. I stayed there in my pose for a long time, the gun still pointed at the spot where he had been. Vinny went over to him, leading with his gun. He took one look down at the man and relaxed.
He's done, he said. I wish he didn't tie his hair back like that. It makes him look like an Indian.
I let out a long breath. I had just killed two men. Six gunshots rang in my ears. Then from somewhere inside the house, we heard the seventh. I rushed back inside with Vinny right behind me. Natalie stood with the bulldog in her hands. DeMarco's chair was tipped over. His body was still in it, as if he had sat back down before he died. Natalie? She didn't look up. Natalie, I said, he went for your gun, right? You had to shoot him. She kept looking down at him. She didn't move. Natalie, am I right? Nothing from her, nothing. I stepped up to her. Tell me, I said. He went for your gun. You had to shoot him. She finally moved. She looked at me.
Yes, she said. He went for my gun. I had to shoot him.
She looked back down at him. Natalie had shot her stepfather right between the eyes.